Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
What a headshot! What a head!
Hello, welcome back to the Football and Feelings podcast. A bonus episode again here for you. Come on in, kick your shoes off, put your dressing gown on and join us for a, I don't know, liquid chat.
Good. It's a great intro.
Yeah, can do one next time.
Nah, you're
right.
Nah? Nah, leave it to professionals.
I'll get you to do one at some point. Yeah. So, in case you didn't guess from that voice, I'm here with Lockie again.
Hello.
How you doing, Lockie?
Yeah, no, really good, mate. Really good. Pleasure to be here again.
A pleasure, mate. The pleasure is all mine. Pleasure is all mine, mate. Again, to the listeners, these bonus episodes, we're going to be doing like hypothetical and deep questions about football and about life. And we're gonna get started on a Sunday League question. Now, Lockie, you're a Sunday League man, a Sunday League apologist, an advocate.
Just love it.
Sunday League manager.
Absolutely love it.
Player. Yeah. Why do you love Sunday League so much?
I'm not
digging it out, by the way. No, I'm just generally.
No. Much better than Saturday League, in my opinion. Not standard wise, just the general sort of logistics, really.
Okay. Earlier kickoffs as well.
Yeah, it was kickoff 3:00. You wake up, you're like, oh, can I do? No, you can't do anything. You've got to wait till 3:00 to go. Saturday teams, they want you there at like 2:00. You know what I mean? You've got to get there an hour before and pretend you're doing a proper warm up. Like, do you know what I mean? We're not getting paid for this. You know what I mean? Let's just get out there and have a go at it, lads. Like, yeah. Sunday League, turn up, 10:10, 9:45, get out there, have a little warm up. Get to it, done at 12:00. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
got your whole Sunday.
Yeah, go literally, get a roast for the boys.
Go and get a roast for the boys, and yeah, you've got your full day ahead of you.
You so, still play Saturday League? Like, your team gonna listen to this?
Yeah, well, maybe, but I've still signed. But you know, they won't hear this. It's fine.
Sunday League, you're a manager of this team.
Yeah,
you run the show.
Yeah, just you know,
pressure. Is that pressure, or do you not really feel any?
No,
pressure?
It's definitely no pressure, but. I've definitely got, and you've met most of them, I've definitely got the nicest bunch of lads
to manage. They are lovely.
Because they just don't give you any problems and you just sort of go, yeah, there's the team, and the lads on the bench go, yeah, no, fair enough.
Can I have a quick word?
Yeah, there's none of that. There's none of that. You just get on with it. And yeah, no, so yeah, it's really, really enjoyable. I thought the management would be really long, but... Turns out Kent does most of it anyway.
Yeah,
so,
you basically have someone that does all the admin. You can do the physical stuff.
But you know,
does that make you a coach, not a manager?
Well, if you want to start putting titles on it, then you know,
that's fine.
I'll have a word with your AFA first, though, if you can pull some strings. So,
I cannot help but find Sunday League hilarious, and I feel like once you start finding it funny, it's very hard to take it seriously.
Yeah,
and I find it hilarious seeing. People take it seriously.
Yeah, no, the beauty of having you come along is that you can just audibly hear you laughing for half of the game. So you just be on the pitch and just say,
like, oh my God, is that how I sound?
Well, no, when you really go, when you're like, when I'm no longer here and someone said, why is there always a wanker under a ponytail? And I just hear you, just that, do you know what I mean? That's when you really go.
I found that hilarious, just because I knew you'd find it funny. It wasn't funny because it was funny, that's the thing. It never is.
Yeah, but no, that is the beauty of it, because I feel like it either goes two ways on a Sunday. You're either playing like someone who really doesn't take it seriously, and that's funny in itself.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, fair play.
Turn up hungover.
Yeah, yeah, or you're playing against the like regimented, like, going through you at every tackle, threatening to fight you after the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just class.
Does that ever happen? Does, like, do people ever come through with, like, pull through with those
threats? I got punched once. That was good.
After a game?
No, but during a game.
During a game?
Yeah, during a game. And then he went and got changed. And I could see him on the touchline. I thought, oh, he's going to have a go here, isn't he?
Came out and he's bore out.
Yeah, no, he came out. Yeah, no. Came out, got out of the kit and that. Didn't even get sent off, I don't think. I'm sure the ref let him sub him. Like, I was like, are you having a laugh?
Anyway, we'll dive into the first question that we have. I was really happy with this question when I wrote it, because I'm interested to hear what you think and your reasons for it. But for, let's say, any Sunday league team, but you imagine you're going to think in the context of your own, I imagine.
Yeah.
What position would you assign one professional player? You can sign them. You can't choose the player specifically, but you can choose
be all right,
position.
I think anyone will do the job. I think you've got to rule defence out, because that's just...
Okay.
I mean...
I think there's an argument for defence.
There's an argument for defence, because I suppose when, you know, Van Dijk's done at Liverpool, it could make the whole bring the whole team up. But why I'm thinking not defence is, you pick a really good right-sided centre-half, it goes down the left. you're still banging charge. But then I suppose he could sort the line out, and he, you know... Mm. So, yeah, I could see the argument for defence. Up front, again, I'd probably say no, because if you don't get the ball to him, useless. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm thinking that Sunday league defenders might be up for a physical challenge, but I suppose if you're against a professional footballer, they'd probably all be pretty shit out of luck. But I think I would go centre mid. I think I would go centre mid, because they can really dictate the game in there, can't they? And just, mm-hmm. if he gets the ball 30 yards out, have a go. 40 yards, just you get a score. You've seen what's in goal. and just find some mad passes. You just know they do some stuff. You're like, what? That's mental. Have you even seen that?
Yeah.
Although I'd be slightly worried the rest of the team wouldn't be on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
But I've definitely had it before playing Sunday league, where you, like, before the game, like, oh, yeah, they've got him in. He plays Saturdays at a decent level, whatever. Mm. And they do run the show in there. Like, them lads that are a little bit of a better quality, they definitely run the show.
Yeah, so clearly visible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. An actual professional footballer would be a madness in there.
I've also gone centre mid, but I do think that there is a good argument for having a goalkeeper or a centre back.
Yeah.
Because I think you did say
you can't pick the player, so
yeah, and
I'm getting you a centre forward to go in goal. Okay. Right. Come on.
I just think that if... I think that you can find quite good attackers in a Sunday league team anyway. I feel like technically the scale, I'd say defenders are normally, not always, but normally worse than the attackers, because not that many people want to play in defence at that level.
If you're really good at football, you're not playing Sunday league at the back.
Yeah.
You're going, no, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Although, like, you've got good players at the back, though. Some of your best footballers, I think, playing defence.
Yeah, but when, I mean... Particularly, our best centre back spends all of his time asking me to go up front. So, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, true. He literally spends all of his time going, come on, this is the
currently
year.
In contract talks to see if see if he can get that worked into.
I'm
his
hoping
contract.
To think that just pure friendship will mean that he stays at centre back for me. That's the hope. But
I've also gone centre mid, because, like you said, I think if you have someone that can dictate that play, imagine, like, I know I said don't imagine a player, but imagine you have like an Iniesta type of player. Just he's just everywhere, free roaming. Yeah. If you need someone to pick up in this pocket of space and at right back, he's going to be there to collect the ball. Yeah. And he's just going to be spraying passes that you've never seen. And like I said, I feel like because you can get relatively decent attackers, I feel like he'd be able to serve them pretty well. Like, you've always got a few fancy Ronaldo tryhards in a Sunday league team, and he'd be able to compliment them.
Don't talk about Cam like that.
I wasn't going to say it. You did. I need to remember that people listening to this podcast won't know these people sometimes.
yeah but you know, hopefully they hear it and take it really personally.
Let's hope so But also, I think a centre mid who's just fit enough. Like if you had someone that could run at like almost full intensity for the whole 90 minutes, you never see that. It's impossible.
But I think that's probably the main point that I think with centre mid that you made earlier, is that going to get the ball, that would be the thing that would be just, because even players that aren't amazing, you always notice a player that wants the ball all the time.
Yeah.
And they're so useful, because they just, they always want to play. Because if no one goes to that for that ball for feet, it's just getting kicked down the line, isn't it?
I feel like that is the biggest difference between a Sunday league and some Saturday league teams, I guess. They want to play a bit more football.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather have, as you're a manager, you sort of deal with some of these logistics of things. Would you rather have a full team available every week?
Yeah.
Or decent refs and linos?
Oh, God, yeah, decent refs and linos.
Would you really?
What do you mean full team though?
As in like you know, Sunday league, sometimes like, you struggle a bit for numbers and you're getting people in that some people aren't there. You haven't always got your best 11.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but my lads are generally all right, don't they? So, but I know I know what you mean, but yeah, no. We've definitely had spells of having really bad availability. So, but no, 100% the refs, because it sounds really harsh, but they're so bad. They're so bad.
I feel bad for Sunday league refs though.
I feel bad for them because the thing is, I understand why it is. If you play the lowest level of football, you're going to get the lowest level of refs.
Yeah,
like I get, sense, I'm not like, oh, we need better quality here. No, yeah. Good quality, you get straight up, like move straight out of Sunday league. But there's just, half of them can't keep up with the play.
Mm-hmm. They don't need the centre circle.
That's no, like some of them just make some mad, just do some stuff that you can't even be annoyed at because you're just like, really? Well, you done that? You know what I mean? It's just like I've played games like this season where both teams are just going, this is mental, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was one that we played earlier in the season where a player headed the ball out and the ref gave him a corner. Oh. And he literally just turned around and went, oh, for fuck, it's a goal kick, ref. he was that sick of it. He just got out there, this is nonsense.
I don't understand what some of them get out of it, like waking up on a Sunday morning to just get abused by 22 players who don't care about the ref as a person.
You've got to say, it says a lot about their character, I suppose, they keep doing it. And it's that they can just shrug it off and not care. Just like, yeah,
some of them are great at doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, fair play to them from that side of things. But no, like I say, I'm not, I understand it's a necessary evil having bad referees, because if I want better referees, I've got to play at a better standard.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Linos will be good though. Like not having a hungover sub doing the line.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
It's to like, be fair, I don't mind. The hungover subs are my favourite because the flag don't really go up. It's the ones, it's the really busy ones that I don't like. They're the ones that just, flag.
Yeah, good point. Now, you used to do some reffing.
I did.
Why did you stop doing that?
I think part of it was I stupidly stopped playing when I was 14.
Right.
And started reffing and I just didn't play. So part of it was like when I got to 18, 19, I was like, oh, I want to play some football.
Yeah.
And I spent
some of your prime years reffing.
Yeah, I know, which is mental, isn't it? But no, it was all right. I didn't mind doing it. There was no particular reason. Like, you do get loads of abuse regardless of if you have a good game or not, to be fair. So again, bit hypocritical that we're how bad the rest people probably thought that about me plenty of times. But yeah, there was never another thing as well with when I was refereeing, you did see like you go to these little FA events or whatever, and it is a proper old boys club. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's just full of
not appealing for a young ref to come through there.
It's not, and it just feels like if you say the right things and suck up to the right people, you might do. But do you know what I mean? But it just feels like there's like a little inner circle.
Like a big boys club.
It's mad. I don't know if everyone would know this, but if you send off a Sunday league player or if you get sent off on Sunday league, like you can appeal that. And like you go to like an actual tribunal thing, like appeal.
Really?
Yeah, like at the FA. And it's mad because you turn up and there's just three really old fellas sitting there. And then they read out your statements. They read out the players' statements, and you just but you never find out what happens. That's the worst thing about it, is that they go, anyway, yeah, you're good to go. And then you leave before you find out sort of what punishment, if any punishment, so that whether they won the appeal or not.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's bizarre. It's bizarre because they give nothing away. You're just getting sort of like looked down by sort of three fellas.
I would quite like to give Sunday League another go at some point. Definitely not reffing. But I just don't know. Like I said, I feel like I take the piss out of it so much in my own head that I would really struggle.
Yeah.
When someone's like demanding something from me, like, I'd struggle to not like just laugh.
But you do catch yourself sometimes just going like, oh God, I'm taking this far too seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
there is like a thrill in that though, isn't there?
Yeah, because you know it's, in the grand scheme of things, nothing. You know it's very minor. But when you do have them days where you win and, oh, like this year we've got two teams. We've got the first and reserve. So like when both teams won and you were down the pub afterwards and stuff, it was just...
It's the social, isn't it? That is the main reason I'd want to join, is for the social.
Yeah, well, don't worry, Liam. There's always a place for you, mate.
Good.
Always.
Thank you. Starting? Probably not.
We'll discuss that later day. We'll see how your ankle's doing at the time. Yeah.
All right, I want to move on to the next question. This is a drastic change of tune, really. If you had one day left to live, what would you do in that one day? Now, I know your answer is pretty bold. It's pretty bold, isn't it? Let's unwrap it. You got one day
well,
left to live.
Well, unwrapping it is what I will be doing, but God.
Go on, go for it.
No, I don't know. It depends how you frame the question. If I know that it's my last day, how are you going to get anything done? You're going to be shitting yourself.
Yeah, true.
So just try a bit of heroin.
Okay, so that's how you're going to take the edge off.
I just think the next sort of 12 hours will fly by and then you're dead.
Okay, fair enough.
Whereas, you know, if you're sitting there going, oh, I've got to do good stuff. I've got to do good stuff. Like, there's find some good stuff to do. I feel like you wouldn't get anything done because you'd just be so worried about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm taking it too literally, to be honest. I think your question is just a means to an end. What would you mean? It was a really good day.
I feel like the sort of interviews I've done on this podcast, I sort of speak about some sensitive issues. And you've just gone and said, yeah, I'd fucking try heroin. I must say this. I really must disclaim that Lucky is joking and that I do not condone any of these actions at Football and Feelings HQ.
I can
assure you that. But also, I can't really counter argue that because there's such an enigma around that.
You have to change the question to what would be your dream day, because I'm thinking
that's a completely different thing. Completely different thing, because I haven't gone for like what my dream day would be.
But okay, well, can I hear you? Can I hear you?
Yeah, sure.
Day?
Like I will say that. Like you sort of alluded to there, chances are I'd be like that, knowing that I was going to die would cripple me and I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, just a pretty mess.
Exactly. But I'll put that to the side. I would struggle to embrace it, obviously, if I'm honest. But imagine that hanging over you, knowing that was going to happen. I can't think of anything worse. But yeah, I would want to give everything away that I own to family. But mainly to people that like really need it. So like money, any tech, like my laptop, my car, for example. I just want to give it away to random people. Just, you know, spread a bit of joy.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I get it, but you're dying. They're living. Do you know what I mean?
What am I going to do with those things?
Just put it in your wheel, mate. They'll sort it out afterwards. Well, you're going around like you're Drake, like just giving out stuff on your last day.
Like, I do look like Drake. People always say
that.
Yeah,
no, yeah, I heard that.
No, I just think that would be nice, though. Imagine like I watch a lot of Yes Theory. I don't know if you know who Yes Theory are, but these are this YouTube collective, I guess you could call them. They go around, they do a lot of challenges, normally like to spread a positive message. One thing they do quite often is like just like giving people money to I don't know, follow their dreams or to like pay off their student debt, stuff like that.
Right.
I'd love to be able to do something like that, because you might as well if you're gonna die.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do agree. I see what you're saying. It'd be nice, that feeling, because it always is nice to give.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure I'd spend my last day doing it, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Fuck my friends and family. I'm dying. Do you know what I mean? Like they can just.
You said you're gonna do heroin.
And also. Yeah, exactly. They're not involved. I'm just doing that on my own. Do you know what I mean? But also, when you're giving them these things, are you telling them that you're off tomorrow? Or?
No, I don't think I'd.
You don't think
tell
you need
people.
To? I think it would sour whatever you've given them the next day when you die.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
No, because no, I won't know these people. They're strangers.
Oh, you're doing it to strangers.
Most of it's going to family, but
I've just spent like 3-4 minutes misunderstanding what you're saying and just thinking you're going, here you are, mum.
No,
have a laptop.
No, I want to give most of it to strangers. There's probably certain things that I'd probably have to arrange a will. But there are certain things that I would like to do that sort of cross my mind, like jumping out of a plane, because I don't think I'd ever do that normally, like in my life. It's something that a lot of people do. Yeah. But I'm still too scared. I still don't think I'll be able to do it.
Jumping
do you reckon you could do that?
Whilst on... No, just jumping out of a plane. Yeah.
Do you reckon you could do that?
I don't know. But you always think, I'll get
I feel it. Like you would. I feel like one day, like I'd see you and you'd be like, I'm jumping out of a plane tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's the sort of thing that I probably would. But it's the sort of thing that I'd book when I'm like feeling like, you know what, push yourself out there. You're not doing enough. Do you know what I mean? I'd book it and then I'd get to it and be like, oh, I need to cancel this.
Yeah.
Like, why? You were acting so big 3 months ago. And like, because
you do that a lot. I feel like you do that all the time.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I feel I can't imagine being in that, in the plane. And then thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. Mm. That must be horrible because that must happen all the time. You get up there and then you just like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Then, I do wonder what percentage of people don't come through with it.
I think more often than not they will because you just get reassured. Surely,
I don't know. I reckon there's like the instructor or the guide with you, they must be able to gauge whether or not that fear maybe like is completely valid. Like I've seen videos of people like saying, I don't want to do it, but if they just do it, definitely won't do it. But then they end up like really enjoying it because they can sort of tell that that person, they are scared, but they could get through that barrier. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, apart from that, pub, for some reason, I want to go to a pub. All my closest friends and family.
Do they know why they're there?
That's a good point. I haven't thought about that.
Celebration of Liam.
I don't know. I wouldn't want it to be.
You don't want that vibe. You don't want it to be all
you
about.
You don't want it to be a deathy vibe.
No,
Because otherwise you'd have to go around to each person and like do something sentimental. It's like, exactly. Always did like you, boy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You'd have to say some nice words to everyone. Add a little bit of drama.
Yeah, it would be very difficult. Because there's not really a word for that, is there? There's, you know, you got the wake, but what's the word for having a death party? Do you know what I mean? Just like, I'm here, but
blowout.
I won't be tomorrow.
Just a big blowout.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to. I'd want to tell anyone.
Yeah. See, I just can't look past that.
That's really Maury.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Even after hearing your answer, I'm just like, yeah. Although the only problem would be sourcing. I don't want to waste half my day sourcing it. But that's
don't worry about the logistics of it. I think maybe we should move on to the third question of the episode.
Yeah. Just always trying to move me off from hearing. It's just so selfish.
I feel like you've really misjudged what this podcast is. I apologise to any listeners that join me for the deep and the hard hitting stuff, but you know, it's hard for my own sanity, these bonus episodes really are just a bit of an escape.
Yeah,
from that sort of stuff.
Look, that's what I'm trying to do. Just trying to take you out of it, Liam. Just chill out, relax.
Let's not. Anyway, let's move on to a question that's sort of based around like your own self-development.
Yeah.
So I can't get it out of my head. last conversation. If you could have one skill or if you could learn one skill like magically, instantly, what would it be? It could be professional. It could be personal. It could be football related. What would you go for?
It's a hard one because obviously, do you think professional? Do you think I want to make loads of money doing this with this skill? Or is it something that's self-fulfilling? I don't know, because I think if I think about it, the obvious ones are like, you know, learn an instrument, be able to sing, be able to play guitar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But then I think, why haven't I done any of those things?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, that's the obvious one. If you could just say to me instantly, you can just be really good at an instrument, I'd probably do that. But again, should probably just try and start. But it seems so unrealistic, doesn't it, when you're just going from nothing. Whereas this magical gift that you're giving me, if it just made me quality, then yeah, I'd probably be up for it.
Uh-huh.
What do you reckon?
Do you not have a set answer? Not too sure.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Like I've not really got a set answer. I think being able to play the guitar and sing
would be
brilliant because I can't do either. Drastically, so like,
certainly can't sing.
Yeah, exactly. You get most of it on the headset.
true. Mine is like sort of a mix, or it could be professional, it could be personal, but it's also something that would be doable. But I know, sort of like that, I know realistically that I'm not going to put the effort in, and that is that if I could master a language or maybe a few languages, Oh, I think that'll be sick.
A good answer, innit?
Like, I'm not imagine being able to speak, I don't know, Spanish or Mandarin, something like that, whatever your language of choice is. Yeah. I just think that could open up opportunities for you.
Yeah, open up a lot of opportunities, and I bet it makes you feel class.
Yeah.
Like, I can just dip in and out.
That's why I sort of thought of this one, because I've spoken to you about this before. I've come close to sort of reaching good levels of a foreign language. Like, my Thai became okay.
Yeah.
I studied Mandarin for a year, but I didn't feel like I made any progress. But I just can't see myself putting in the time that's needed again.
Yeah.
And it's well hard as an adult.
It's just so hard to make it stick. Like, I deludedly, is that a word? Deludedly.
Yeah, I think deludedly. So.
I deludedly started just putting on the Spanish podcasts in my...
I remember this.
After
you came back from Benicassim and you thought, I want to go back and speak Spanish.
Yeah, no reason, no motive.
Yeah, definitely not.
But no, and I just thought, oh yeah, because I do a lot of driving for my job. So I thought, just leave it on whilst I'm driving. It'll sink in.
Yeah.
It doesn't just go in. You've actually got to concentrate and try really hard. Otherwise, it just goes straight out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it does seem just really unattainable, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It seems like, it almost feels like such a chore. I also think that you need to be... Like, a lot of people listen to podcasts like that and listen to audiobooks in these foreign languages. And I think that does help, but only when you're at like a certain level, maybe.
Yeah.
Where you need to, like people say, like if you're learning a language, watch films and TV in that language.
Yeah.
Because you just get used to the tones and I guess. But if you don't know any of the words, like that doesn't mean anything.
No, exactly. That's sort of what I thought was going to happen. But then when you're just hearing sentences in Spanish, you're just like, well, I don't know what any of this is. Like, I don't
yeah.
there's no base. And the one I was listening to was a husband and wife duo.
The Irish guy.
No, he's not Irish. No, he's
right,
he's okay. English and she's Spanish.
Okay, I don't think I've heard those ones.
And it's essentially just them flirting. Like, it's honestly, it's meant you're just like, oh, get a room, lads. Like, honestly, like, you're meant to be doing a professional podcast. I'm trying to pick up some stuff, and it's just you going, your Spanish is a bit better than my English.
There is this Irish guy that has, I'm not sure what it's called. It's like cafe Spanish, but so they're all like 5-minute episodes, and he has these, but he has them in like 10 different languages. And I don't know if he speaks all these languages or if he learns
the format
them.
Is
as yeah, is he, if he like learns thing, them. Right. He has it, and then he has a like a co-host on who's a native speaker of that language.
Right.
But this fellow, he just somehow leads these podcasts for like so many different languages. It's a joke.
Have you found them helpful?
Not really. I started using Duolingo again though.
To be honest, Duolingo, I'd say, is the one, like, I didn't use it for long enough, but I used Duolingo for like 2-3 months and there's still some work. Do you know what I mean? There's still, I can't really form sentences, but there was a lot of words I picked up just from doing that.
But you end up like forming weird sentences on Duolingo, don't you? But apparently that's part of the process to try and help you remember the sentence structure.
I remember when we were all getting on Duolingo and one of our mates like was sort of treating it like it was a game. Like, it was like, they were like, yeah, like, I'm well ahead of you. And it's like, are you learning it though? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I remember that.
Like, yeah, well done. Do you remember any of it? No, but I'm on level whatever. Yeah. You know? It's like, right.
I just think it would be class to like, I imagine being in like South America or Spain and being able to just speak with the locals. I think from a professional point of view, I feel like it will be easier for them to get like a Spanish person that speaks English, because that's just where they'd think to go.
Yeah.
English people are so lazy with learning languages, right?
Yeah. And we're including ourselves. That's not us being like, oh, English people. Like,
oh, mate. Yeah. So lazy. Did you do languages in school?
Oh, mate. Oh, I fucked it, to be honest. No, like I chose, you get to choose, didn't you? I don't know what you...
We did French from like year 7 to year 9. When I got to year 9, they randomly brought in a Spanish teacher. But she was one teacher teaching like thousands of students, the only one.
Mad. Yeah, so we never had an option for Spanish. We just had German or French.
Right.
And I chose German because I had sort of got told that would be closer to English, which I guess it sort of is. Do you know what I mean? Like some words are just similar, just a bit German sounding. I well regretted it just because I weren't into it at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I definitely would have rather done French because, one, I've never been to Germany where I went to France. Do you know what I mean? So like, even just going on holiday to the places makes you a little bit more like inspired for it.
Yeah.
And also, I don't want to be sort of critical of, you know, education givers, but my teachers were c***s, so...
I might have to bleep that out. But, sure. But, that's fair enough.
No, but yeah, so I was just never into it. Like, I can't remember what grade I got, but it was awful.
I had like one really nice French teacher that I got on really well with, but I don't remember anything. Right. I always envied those people that when they were like really young, when they were like in single digit years, they started learning languages then, or like their parents, one of their parents spoke this language and they just spoke it around them. I think that's what I'd like to do that in the future if I have kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause your capacity, I suppose if you just get brought up with it, it's always going to be a lot easier, isn't it? If you're already, if you're speaking in that language and getting encouraged to speak in it from your parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just had, when this bonus episode comes out, my last episode will be Michael Timms, the presenter, and he speaks Spanish. I think it's Spanish, French, English is obviously, and Portuguese. I think he's quite good in Portuguese, and he's done interviews like translating with Messi, with Zidane, and like imagine that feeling, being able to.
Has that slightly inspired your answer? Because you're like that. The possibilities, it might have.
I just want to interview Thierry Henry in French, even though he speaks perfect English.
Language of love.
I just think it'll be class. Speaking to people is in itself like a skill.
But what you said about English people being lazy, yes. But then I also think there's definitely a lot less of an emphasis. Like whenever I had friends at school that would come over from other countries, and obviously their English was always, he was always just like, mate, your English is, like, how's your English so good? And it's like, well, we get taught as soon as we start school. Yeah. Like we learn English.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is like why we don't have something more based towards that. I guess English is, I suppose, the obvious language to teach in other countries.
I guess you sort of, when you know that everyone else is learning our language,
there's
less of an incentive.
It does make you a bit lazy. And like, if you were going to pick one to really go with as like a national curriculum, what language?
It's a bad attitude, though, isn't it? It is a bad attitude.
It is definitely a bad attitude. I suppose I think they should just look at what is the most commonly spoke foreign language, and then we should be taught that.
But then again, there are various historical reasons why that language is the most spoken, which we won't go into.
But I mean, from like, as opposed to English,
right? Okay,
I'm saying as English, as to teach,
it's got to be. I would have thought it's got to be Spanish, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. So I would have thought it was Spanish. So, but like I said, I wasn't even given the option for Spanish. So and you weren't till year 9.
Because she was teaching every kid in the school. It's quite a big school as well.
Yeah.
Like thousands of kids. And it was only her, if she was off like for a week or so, like everything went peak-tong. She was doing like one lesson every other week to start with, I think.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But if you, I'm not saying that we'd all be fluent in Spanish, but you must admit, if we'd done, say, an hour or two a week of Spanish from like reception onwards.
Oh, yeah.
You'd at least be able to go and order a drink when you go on holiday.
Exactly. And I'd be like, me, Foster's.
Hola.
Hola, chips. Obviously, when I worked in Thailand, in that school, it was a bilingual school. And these kids from the age of, some of them were one, like we had kids as young, just before their second birthday. They were learning English, Thai and Mandarin.
Like, and that must have been so weird, being a little bit in awe of a child. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're so smart. Yeah. Class.
There were a few. Like the kids I taught, they were like five or six years old. And something like, there were a few that were they were fluent in every one of these languages. And I just don't understand how...
Crazy. Like, how
does your brain do
that? Like,
yeah, you're five.
Yeah. No, that is incredible.
Mental.
That is incredible.
Absolutely mental.
But yeah. You know, I have seen you go with a little bit of Thai, Liam. So don't beat yourself down.
I could order the few dishes made. Tell them where I'm from and all that.
Does the booking in Thai, so they come.
You're
the Thai one.
Oh, well. Yeah. I had to do that. Right, let's get it out there. Me and Lockie went for a Thai meal once. It was a nice romantic meal in a local Thai restaurant that we hadn't sampled before. And when I was booking on the phone, the lady didn't understand what time, so I said it in Thai, and then we got there and they were sort of like murmuring, and like news had spread to
them. Yeah, they loved it. They loved it.
They loved it. Yeah.
So Liam got a welcome, is what happened. We said, are you the Thai speaker?
No money off the bill, though.
No.
So come on.
All that effort. You know.
I've made that effort to embrace myself, put myself into your culture in a way.
And I can't even get a free pad thai for it. It's a joke.
Out of order. Out of order. Okay, we'll wrap it up there for another bonus episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, apologies. I'll sort of gauge people's reactions and we'll see what direction these episodes take in the near future. But if you have any questions, head over to the socials. And if you haven't already, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating on the pod. That would really help me reach more people every episode and grow the pod. Lockie, any final words?
No, mate. No, just thank you again. Thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Okay, mate.
Yeah, look forward to it again.
Pleasure. To the listener, see you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.